Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from the Emory-Riddle Aeronautical University Worldwide Campus, providing students from all 50 states and 119 countries with innovative education and opportunities for success. More at erau.edu/ww.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage.
If you've been watching TV or engaged with social media in Central Florida over the last week, you know that primary election season is ramping up. And in Orange County, there's a race that everybody has their eye on.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Murphy, and I'm running for mayor of Orange County, Florida. You may know me as your former congresswoman. I was proud to represent parts of Orlando in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Orange County deserves a future that's both prosperous and principled. We need to raise families, not taxes. We need to build businesses, not bureaucracies.
My name is Chris Messina.
Para toda mi comunidad latina, yo soy Mayra Uribe, orgullosamente corriendo para alcaldesa del condado de Orange. Y es un honor para representar a nuestra comunidad y con su apoyo, con su ayuda y con su bendiciones.
I'm Tiffany Moore Russell, and I'm running to be your next Orange County mayor. For more than a decade, I've served as your clerk of court. Before that, 8 years as your county commissioner.
The next county executive will have their hands full chairing the county commission and managing the day-to-day operations of the county as factors including accelerated growth, an across-the-board affordability crunch, and the prospect of drastic cuts to the amount of money brought in through property taxes will guide much of the policymaking over the next few years. Engage invited all four county mayor candidates to answer questions. They all agreed, and over the past 2 weeks, we taped all four separately via Zoom. We led off our discussion with the same get-to-know-you type question. What do you believe to be the top three issues in Orange County, and how do you plan to solve them? Orange County Commissioner Mayra Uribe began her response by looking at ways to boost the local economy.
We need better paying jobs, and we need companies to come here that offer that. We are very based on an industry that has taken one third of our population and its workforce, and it's one of the not best working financially positions that it's in. While they have a role at the table, if you really want people to be able to afford here, live here, and prosper here, we've got to be able to open this up and allow that to happen and encourage businesses to come here. Additionally, we have a lot of entrepreneurs. And we really need to help entrepreneurs. We have programs, but yet everybody works in silos. Transportation. This is a hard one for me because transportation, housing, and jobs really all correlate together. You can have the best jobs, the best homes, the best schools, but if you can't move people, you're stagnant. Right now, what you're seeing is people who take public transit because they have to, not because they want to. And for instance, when we talk about Sunrail, when we talk about links and buses, big buses are not it. But connectivity is straight line. And housing. Housing continues to struggle here in Central Florida. One, we have an internal process that is not built to actually encourage and streamline and process people. Secondly, we don't really have an incentive for folks to build affordable housing. We need that to happen.
Businessman Chris Messina agrees that jobs are the number one priority. His approach to job creation focuses on a specific sector,
particularly in space tech. And we're working hard to bring in the first military academy in the South, the Space Force Academy, to Orange County. And that will spin off a minimum of $1 billion. And we know that because we benchmarked against the other military academies, such as West Point. And we think it'll be more because space is kind of the new frontier, and Orange County is uniquely positioned because of its presence in the center of Florida, its access to the world's premier launch facility at Cape Canaveral, and the university at UCF. The second issue for me is we've got to keep our kids safe, and keeping them safe in every environment that they're in. But a big part of that is giving them hope for the future. And part of that hope is, again, around great jobs. And so we have a program that we've initiated, we're promoting. It's called Orange County Works. And the idea is to provide a subsidized education for everybody who wants from junior year in high school on through middle age, for everybody who wants and is able to get into a trade school for a trade school education, plumber, welder, electrician, CAD/CAM operator. The third thing we need to do in our third major platform plan is we have to get rid of waste, fraud, and bureaucracy in county government so we can invest where we need to, such as affordable housing and better transportation without raising taxes.
Orange County Clerk of Courts Tiffany Moore Russell agrees with the other candidates about the issues. She just prioritizes them in a different order.
So the three issues for me are housing, transportation, and economic prosperity, all lead up to, you know, an affordable quality of life so someone can thrive here in Central Florida. So first I will talk about housing. And housing has been presented in so many different fashions, whether it's affordable, accessible, whatever you want to call it. We are pricing everybody, except a certain percentage of our population, out of affording their homes or being able to rent in this community. And we have to look at certain things like increasing supply to create more supply to respond to the demand. And secondly, they got to look for some more creative solutions for housing. I think we should look and see what other cities are doing. Like there are some cities out there are doing inclusive housing. And so I think we have to make some changes internally in Orange County. That's the housing side of things. I think Orange County should look at being innovative and doing redevelopment, reinvesting and incentivizing those who want to reinvest in our inner legacy communities, whether that's Colonial Town, whether that's South Apopka, whether that's Lockhart, whether that's Pine Hills, Holden Heights. We have a lot of legacy communities where there is very little investment and try to incentivize those to come back into this community where we already have existing infrastructure. Transportation is tied to housing, it's tied to affordability. We need a robust transportation plan from roads to, you know, to rail, to sidewalks, to trails, all of those things that allow people to move throughout this community. I think we have to look at existing resources, working with the state and federal government to address our transportation challenges and a need for diversity in our resources, the private sector. But ultimately, we will have to come back and revisit a dedicated funding source.
And former Congresswoman Stephanie Murphy identifies the same issues as her opponents, the need to create more better-paying jobs, a way to address traffic congestion and improve public transportation, and of course, facilitating more affordable housing.
I think we have to find ways to deliver more units to market to meet the demand. I think we have to find ways to reduce permitting times, incentivize infill development, implement new construction technologies that lower the cost of delivering housing units so that we can address the need and the demand and lower the cost. On the congestion piece, for as long as I've lived here in Orange County, we have talked about the need for investments into transportation and infrastructure. And I think as a community, we have to begin to make those real investments into a multimodal system that enables people to get connected to opportunity. When I was a member of Congress, I pulled down billions of dollars for I-4 expansion, for smart traffic signals, for redoing main streets for bike and pedestrian friendly. We need more of that. And in order for us to meet the growth needs and the necessary investments, we have to layer our county resources with state resources and with federal resources in order to be able to deliver a multimodal transportation system that works for this community. And the final piece is around better paying jobs. We have a significant part of our economy is tourism. And in many ways, that's great because it has enabled us the resources to be able to spend on some of these public goods. But we also have this incredible opportunity to diversify our economy in meaningful ways into space and defense sectors, into UAVs, so drones, that kind of technology, whether it's to deliver munitions, groceries, or people. We have the ability to diversify into the biomedical space.
All four candidates identified transportation as a top-line issue in Orange County. Current Mayor Jerry Demings initiated a multi-year effort to pass a penny sales tax in the county to pay for transportation expansion and improvement, an effort that was ultimately unsuccessful. We asked the four candidates running for a seat to share their solutions for not only improving our transit systems, but also how they would fund them. Stephanie Murphy feels like Central Florida communities need to rethink the role of public transportation as less of a business model and more of a public good.
That means that a lot of the things that we're looking at funding are not going to pencil. But some of the greatest transportation systems across this country don't pencil. If you look at New York City, their subway system doesn't pay for itself. But they are a community that has made a commitment and an understanding that the subway system is a key part of supporting their economy and the way of life. And so as a community, we have to kind of think about public transportation in that way, that it is a public good. And then how do we pay for it? I think we need a dedicated funding source. The upside of a sales tax is that it's really not a penny paid by the residents. It's a half pence because the other half is paid by visitors. So that's one option, but we should look for options that are sustainable and don't impact hardworking families who are already struggling with affordability. The other thing that we need to do is to layer the county financing with state financing and federal financing.
Republican Chris Messina sees fiscal responsibility as the path to sustainable public transportation.
Number one is to use the money we have more efficiently. We don't need the penny sales tax. What we need to do is rethink how our transportation system works, and we need to think about how we can implement technology to make it happen.
Messina explained how he would improve bus systems like the county's Lynx.
We have an oversized bus system for the county this size because we're very spread out and sprawling. So we have giant 50-person buses carrying 3, 4, 5 people to a central hub and then changing to other buses that go to another central that go to the point and location that they're heading to. So, and what that means pragmatically is that people going to the going to their jobs, let's say at the airport from Pine Hills, and this is a true case story. I met a young man. It takes him 2 hours one way to commute to his job from Pine Hills to the airport, and that means he's spending a third of his day on mass transit. But if we take those buses, we right size them, go towards more of the 15 to 20 person vans, equip those with technology, we can move from a hub and spoke model to a point to point model that's faster, more predictable, and uses much less capital.
Commissioner Myra Uribe believes the solution to funding transportation initiatives begins with tourism revenue.
Number one, we tap into TDT. We've got to stop protecting that industry. 21,000 cars are rented here on a daily basis. They use our roads, they use our resources, our water, they use our public safety, and they contribute zero to it. That's not fair to this town and the people who live here. We take even a portion, $45 million, which they've raised over four, they're anticipated of bringing in $450 million in TDT dollars. But what have they contributed back to this community? Outside of the arts, you also need your number one pedestrian at the table, and that's your school system. Kids are our top pedestrian as they walk to school. We have to do this for real. We have to go out in the community with whiteboards and say, what do you want to see? We have to pick projects that we're going to guarantee we're going to work on. And lastly, what we've never done and we need to do is we have to include green space and trails. We have to protect our environment when we do all this movement. We can't just be concrete focused.
And Clerk of Courts Tiffany Moore Russell spoke from personal experience when she identified what areas within Orange County need attention.
I live in Horizons West, and if anyone's ever taken the turnpike and exited off of the 429, it is one of the worst intersections across this county. And if you talk to someone in East Orlando, they'll talk about Narcoosie Road, right? There are several high-growing communities with major challenges with how they move people.
And so one, we have to look at existing resources and making sure we're leveraging all of what we have today and lobbying to get more transportation dollars from the state and the federal government. I think we have to work with our existing agencies, such as, you know, the East-West Expressway Authority, our link system, all those to come up with very smart plans, right? Looking for mass transit routes that get where the working families are to major job markets across the county. And so looking for mass rapid buses, you know, and maybe smaller buses in certain parts of our county. So we redesigning what transportation looks like. And then we have to have a plan for SunRail. So it's going to be a multimodal, very robust transportation plan from roads to rail to even our, you know, our trails and all those things we have to look at. But we will have to come back to the table and discuss a dedicated funding source, because there's not enough revenue to address all of our transportation deficits, right?
The U.S. Census Bureau reported Orlando added more than 37,700 new residents between July of 2024 and July of 2025. Despite this growth, Florida is also seeing a sizable population leaving the state, frequently attributed to housing costs. We asked each candidate what they would say to someone thinking about leaving Central Florida and building their lives somewhere else because of housing costs, and to identify which policies they would support to make rent more affordable and increase rental housing stock. Tiffany Moore Russell points to a program that grew out of a global pandemic.
One of the things that the county created during COVID was they opened up a rental housing department that worked with our office to avoid evictions during COVID. I would bolster that program. I would look for ways to provide more down payment assistance for both first-time home buyers and renters, right? Programs to help people avoid eviction. I think all that creates housing stability for our community, right? And so those are things that I would explore, as well as making sure first-time down payment assistance programs are indexed to the current cost and pricing today. So giving someone $10,000 in 2000 is not the same as 2026. And so making sure these programs are indexed to what the price is today, so that those programs are growing as the prices are growing. So looking for those are things that I would promote. I would love to continue funding the county's program now for down payment assistance and housing programs, but also spend the money to get more programs and projects in the county. So that's what I would prioritize, as well as making some changes internally in the building and the permitting department.
Myra Uribe is frustrated by the slow pace of construction projects and worries that it's contributing to low housing inventory and ultimately quality of life issues.
Taking 2 to 3 years to build anything in Orange County is unacceptable. There's no reason why that process should take that long. With as much technology as there is, we need to move and streamline a lot faster. It's very basic. I call it math. If it costs me less time and less money to build, then I don't have to charge as much to make up what it costs me. That's number one. Number two, we actually have programs and we need to go fight and advocate in Tallahassee and in Washington and get some of those funds here. We don't have a problem where people don't have jobs. We have an underemployment issue, which makes it hard. When you look at recently firefighters, what they were making a very low, where they were, you had firefighters for homeless, you have teachers, when 70% of our firefighters can't even afford to live in Orange County, when teachers are moving, when police deputies, 63% can't afford to live in Orange County, it's no longer just a fact of, well, it's just expensive here. Our own basic services and first responders and frontline workers can't afford to live in this town. We have a crisis. And we need to make that crisis visible. And we got to be purposeful when we do that. Improve the system, invest going forward purposely, not just into programs and nonprofits, but actually say, we're going to build this house.
Stephanie Murphy believes builders are discouraged by an onerous fee structure, and that is contributing to the lack of housing inventory.
We have to reform permitting. That is for sure. Currently, it adds anywhere from, and depending on the source, 25% to 40% of the cost. So if if builders are able to deliver units to market at a lower rate, that will, you know, make homes more affordable, more people will be able to get into them. I think also we have to incentivize infill development in places where the infrastructure already exists, so that we're not paying for laying new utility and developing new areas. And our county is actually ripe for that kind of redevelopment. We were built mostly in the 80s and 90s, and we no longer live the way that we once did. And so if we can incentivize the delivery of units in those places, that's another way. Another way of lowering the cost of housing units is by implementing new construction technologies that exist.
Chris Messina feels the most recent legislative session produced a number of opportunities to increase housing inventory and wants to see unused commercial properties converted to residential housing.
There are two issues or two components that come together here. So one is to increase the supply, and the other is to reduce unnecessary demand. So increasing the supply, we need to leverage some of the new acts that have come out of the state government, such as the Live Local Act, which provides for housing to be built in commercial spaces under certain circumstances. The YGBI law, which passed last year, which allows churches and religious institutions to build affordable housing on property that they own, subject to local zoning laws. And so those are two really positive state legislative developments. My personal initiative that I and my administration will be working very hard on, and we're promoting this now, is to revitalize all the blighted strip malls that we have up and down Orange Avenue, OBT, Colonial, and turn those into mixed income housing. So those are important. Revitalizing these blighted strip centers addresses three issues. One, since they're in the center of a city, it reduces cars on the road. Number two, providing affordable housing. And number three, taking areas that are really burdens on the local community and turning them into assets.
One of the impacts of the lack of affordable housing is an increase in the region's unhoused population. A January point-in-time count of unhoused people in the region conducted by the Homeless Services Network of Central Florida identified more than 1,900 individuals living in Orange County, a number that has been hard to pin down since the state passed a ban on public sleeping and unauthorized camping. The Homeless Services Network also found that more than 40% of Central Florida's homeless population are now children or people aged 55 and older. As the county tries to develop affordable housing options throughout its communities, it is finding neighborhoods are pushing back, some saying there are already too many low-income housing resources in the area, or simply saying they don't want the housing in their communities at all, that it brings crime and lowers property values. We asked the Orange County mayoral candidates where they stood on the placement of low-income housing. Myra Uribe sees a chance to build on an existing housing program.
I'm very proud to help create the first ever 90-day housing pathway to permanent housing plan that we've ever had. It's called the Goldenrod Village. It's going to be on Goldenrod and East Colonial in an actual, it's actually in an industrial area with minimal residential, with public access, and with resources around it. And it is a 150-bed apartment-looking facility with 24-hour security, wraparound services, and the intent is to bring individuals in and get them permanently housed again. We can do this. There have been places across this country that have done this successfully. I tell people, just giving someone a bed for the night, a shower, and a meal is not intentionally trying to recoup homelessness and help that fix. That is just an access to something they need immediately. We have to think about this as a plan. We have to think about this as a wraparound. And we have to think about this that they are our neighbors. They are our neighbors, and we want them to flourish. Because when they flourish, we flourish.
Stephanie Murphy feels that some existing programs can be successful, but the political will doesn't match the need, and that the county needs to take a more humane approach to housing the homeless.
I think that we have to look at all of our efforts on homelessness holistically, because human services is the budget line item that has grown the most from a percentage basis. There are communities where when they've increased transitional housing and properly applied wraparound services, they have been able to move people off of the streets and into transitional housing and then eventually into affordable housing and on up the ecosystem. So, you know, I think that this is an issue that we have to, as a community, decide that we want to give our neighbors the dignity of not sleeping on the streets and use the best practices that other communities have used effectively and apply them here so that we're not just throwing more money at the problem, but we're actually investing in the solutions that will make a difference.
Chris Messina feels the solution begins with that first step of finding transitional housing for people living on the streets and camping in the woods.
I've personally tried to help people who are experiencing homelessness and find transitional housing. And this is, you know, in one case, a lady with five kids and a job, and it was very, very difficult. So I know there's a need for it. I also know that some of our communities feel like they become the quote unquote dumping ground for people who are homeless. And I can understand the frustrations there. And then we have other challenges because people don't want large centers built in their community and lots of people hanging around. And there's concern about, you know, drugs flooding into areas. So it's a very complex balancing act. But there are properties around the county and that could be appropriate. The number one thing, though, in terms of addressing homelessness, is to move people along a continuum towards self-sufficiency, and that's got to be at the core of our approach to homelessness.
Tiffany Moore Russell would like to see homeless and housing services spread across the region to better serve the unhoused in Orange County rather than concentrated in the urban corridors.
We need a countywide conversation with our cities to come up with a countywide plan to diversify and spread out where the housing services are, but also making sure they're near major transportation roadways, right? So they can get to services. But I'm not a fan of putting all our services in one area. I think we need, everyone has to have buy-in. You can't have cities picking up people and bringing them back downtown, because that's not fair to those who live in Orlando. I think we got to spread. Everyone has to come to the table and work to help address this issue when it comes to homelessness.
And finally, we wanted to ask the candidates a question that would give us some insight to who they are and their relationship to the greater Central Florida community. We asked them to name their favorite places or things in Orange County and why. Stephanie Murphy spoke about how she values time with her family at local sporting events.
I really love going to soccer matches at Inter and Co. Stadium. And the reason I love it is that there we see all the best of our community on display. There are people from all kinds of socioeconomic backgrounds. The diversity of our community is there. And we're all rooting for the same home team. And I think, you know, it has been able to create a sense of community. I think sports does, you know, it creates a sense of community. It cuts across political, socioeconomic, you know, all the lines. And it just brings a community together in a way that I feel is really exciting. And I also am a little bit of a soccer fan, so of course I enjoy that.
Tiffany Moore Russell enjoys the variety of activities offered across Central Florida's many communities.
I I love our sense of community. I love the fact that you can go to Winter Gardens Farmers Market or, you know, on a Saturday morning. I love the fact that you can go catch a series of concerts in Apopka at their amphitheater. And you're not, you know, and so to me, that's what I love about Orlando. I have boys. So I love the weather. And so my son plays baseball year round. And so I love the weather. I love the fact that we have a diversity of what we can do with our families versus what you can do as individuals. And then lastly, if I want to see a Broadway show, we have a great airport.
For Myra Uribe, it's not just the places that she enjoys, it's the people.
I'm born and raised here, so I love my community, Pine Castle, and the fact that I still live there is a lot. I tell people, I never moved. I moved one time in my life, and that was just a half mile from the house I grew up in. I love being a proud Oak Ridge pioneer. I love raising my kids here. I love now being a third generation at my church. I'm Catholic, and I go to St. John Vianney on Orange Blossom Trail. But I want to say the best part, just like today, we just got done feeding over 500 veterans and their families over at the VA in Baldwin Park. The best part of what I love this community is the people. It's letting people know, one, there's someone fighting for you. Two, there's someone loving you. And three, we're in this together.
And finally, few things bring Chris Messina as much joy as taking in a good basketball game.
I have to say that I love going to the Kia Center to watch the Magic. That's a lot of fun. And I also enjoy going to UCF to the what they call the bounce house. The only problem is I must be bad luck for UCF because every game I go to, they start by winning and then collapse in the in the last quarter. So I love the school. So those are the favorite things to do. I would say I love our neighborhoods that have the old oak trees with the moss growing down, and you just drive through and you just feel this kind of wonderful sense of tranquility. That's kind of a favorite thing to do, and I have some favorite restaurants. That gives you a broad range. And in terms of the arts, I love the programs at CFC Arts, the Central Florida Community Arts puts on.
We'll have the second half of our questions with the Orange County mayoral candidates next week when we'll discuss topics including the growth of our tourism industry, generating jobs in Central Florida, and what role TDT revenue should play in funding our communities.
Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.